Easter is coming up, and I just can't wait to have the whole family in one place. And of course, what's Easter without an awesome Easter brunch? Now, I don't know about your family, but mine is a little picky, and I really wanted to impress them with something delicious. A friend told me I should check out Total Wine & More. It was crazy! They must have every wine and beer imaginable. I told one of their friendly experts my situation, and they found me just the thing. This sparkling wine is going to be absolutely perfect for brunch, even with my picky family. I know next time I need something, I'm shopping at Total Wine and More.
Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to New Mexico West Prepping on the Contra Radio Network, preparing today to survive the day after. I'm your host, Brian.
And I'm your co-host, Eric.
Hello, everyone. On this show, we're going to be discussing traveling in winter weather, situational awareness, and safety. We're going to discuss the basic survival and safety gear for survival or for winter and holiday travel, knowing what and or who is around you and what they're doing and the importance of situational awareness. Eric's going to give you some quick and easy steps to help you survive and if you're stranded in a snowstorm. And we're also going to discuss terrorism, travel, Christmas, and you. Hello, Eric. Are you there?
Yep.
All right.
Today, I'm going to be talking about winter traveling gear to keep into your vehicle. One, blankets, gloves, winter hats, hand warmers, extra socks, and maybe a sleeping bag rated for cold weather. Two would be a snow shovel, some ice melt and kitty litter, so if you get your vehicle stuck in the snow chains, which would have been helpful for last year when we were going up the hill to our property in an unsuspected blizzard in a two-wheel drive pickup truck. Flare, red flags to hang on, like, say, your antenna or your window, and safety triangles. Always notify someone where you are going and when you should get there. And also study the weather. Never drive blindly into a blizzard. It is always handy to keep an NOAA radio with you. And also 24 to 48 hour food supply and water would be a good thing too. This is not an all-inclusive list, though. This is just a brief list of things we feel are important when traveling in the winter.
All right. So, basically, when you're traveling in the wintertime, most important is to just know where you're at, know what's coming, know what you're driving into, and avoid driving blindly into things. Know your surroundings, know what's going on around you. You know, situational awareness is very important. You know, and University of Albany Center for Public Health Preparedness Director Edward Waltz had a very good article on situational awareness. He says, you know, what is situational awareness and why is it an important term for vacationers to remember? When training professionals in preparedness programs, we use terms like vulnerability assessment, threat environment, and situational awareness. While these have specific meanings in the context of community preparedness, they also translate into daily living, especially when traveling. Winter traveling, situational awareness is paramount. If you don't know what you're getting into, don't know what you're headed into, you're going to end up in a bad situation sooner or later. When you're at home or work, you are in a familiar environment where you know the risks and you can control many of them when traveling. Even to a known place, there are new challenges and unfamiliar environments. The most important rule is to maintain situational awareness in all circumstances. That involves being aware of the environment and potential threats around you at all times. If you can anticipate higher risk situations you're likely to encounter, you'll have a better idea of what to look for to reduce risks and plan appropriate responses. How does preparedness apply to summer or holiday travel? Like everything in preparedness, planning starts well before the event. Conduct a simple vulnerability analysis. What are the adverse events or conditions you can anticipate at each stage? This would include the possibility of mechanical failure, effects of adverse weather, and other causes of breakdown or accident. The internet offers detailed lists of recommended emergency supplies. Again, the list that Eric went over is not all-inclusive. These are just the bare necessities. There's a lot of things that some people may need in areas that you may not need in others. Pretty sure if you're traveling in Florida in the winter, except for those very few occasions when they get a freezing ice storm, you probably really don't need a sleeping bag in your trunk, because usually in Florida, especially southern Florida, it's 75 degrees at night, and sleeping bags are pretty much a non-item. However, if you're in, like, say, Wisconsin or North Dakota or South Dakota or Wyoming, where it gets to minus 40, minus 50, having a sleeping bag can save your life. Things like that are important. And so, you know, when you're planning to travel, you need to look at the environment you're traveling into. If you're coming from Florida and you're going to Wisconsin, make sure you read up on the weather, because if you leave Florida in shorts and a T-shirt and you get on an airplane when you get to Wisconsin and there's 4 feet of snow out there or 6 feet of snow out there and the temperature is minus 45, you're still going to be wearing shorts and a T-shirt. And you're going to look pretty funny running through the airport trying to find your bags so you can get changed. So, you know, if bad weather is forecasted, check your local weather reports regularly. If you have a smartphone or a cell modem, there's many websites out there that provide up-to-date information on the weather. NOAA provides a overview of weather in your area, whereas you can get to a lot of the local channels, local radios and TV channels will have actual up-to-date weather for the area that you're in. They'll also list road closures, accidents, traffic conditions. Before your trip, bookmark the websites, call 511 for all the states that are on your itinerary, and just check and make sure that your weather is going to be favorable, and if not, make sure you make preparations for it. As Eric said, you know, let somebody know where you're going and when you should be there. That way, if you're not there, people know that you're not there, and people know that you're actually missing. You could go through an entire blizzard and nobody knows you're missing because you didn't tell anybody where you were going or what you were doing and when you should be there. So, you know, if people know you're missing, you're a lot more likely to get help sent out. Welcome guest 1292. What other specific threats apply to vacationers who are driving? When you stop at a highway rest area, and this is super important, you should recognize that it represents a different kind of threat environment, including the risk of both infectious diseases and personal safety issues. Hundreds of people touch virtually every surface even after being cleaned. Avoid touching anything unnecessarily with your bare hands. Always use a hand sanitizer before returning to your vehicle to reduce the risk of spreading contamination. During travel season, rest areas overflow with children just released from hours of confinement in a traveling vehicle. Energy is released the minute they come inside. The near pandemonium is a perfect environment for someone to snatch a wallet left temporarily on the counter, grab a purse, or even kidnap a child. So pay very close attention to what's going on around you and what everyone's doing and where they're at. You know, they can get away unnoticed in the confusion like that. When you enter the building, take note of any uniformed security personnel so that you can find them quickly in the event of a crime or missing child. We will also discuss terrorism, travel, and you. Some of the most important things to remember while you're traveling this year is the fact that not everybody out there has your best interest in mind. ISIS, Al-Qaeda, people like that have gone to great lengths to perfect the art of terrorism, and they have made announcements that they're going to do things if they can in America, and they're going to do as much as they possibly can. The FBI is warning police departments across the nation of the uptick in terror threats, telling them to prepare for a multitude of attacks, from drones carrying explosives to bombings in crowded areas. So when you're in an area and you're, like, say, a rest area, and you are stopping to use the restroom, pay attention to who's around you. Look for suspicious looking bags. If you see something that looks suspicious, do not go and investigate it. Call the authorities, local authorities, call 911 and let them know, hey, you know, there's something here that looks out of the ordinary, something that needs to be investigated. IEDs are no joke. They will wreak havoc, and that's what they're designed to do. They're designed to cause massive pandemonium and instill terror in the hearts of the people who are in the area when they go off. The latest issue of Al-Qaeda Inspire magazine warned of Al-Qaeda's Inspire magazine warned of imminent threats to the United States during the holiday season, including drones carrying IEDs, lone gunman attacks and explosives in target-rich zones in Washington, D.C. and neighboring regions, including Northern Virginia. This week, the Islamic State released its own magazine edition, purporting potential terror and pointing to the Macy's Day Parade as an excellent target. Now, that was in November. Nothing happened. That does not mean that they are not there. It does not mean that you can just, you know, ignore the fact that these people are out to do damage to you. FBI is also warning of threats targeting Inauguration Day, as President-elect Donald Trump is sworn into office on January 20th. An uptick in terror threats often occurs during the holiday season, with roughly 100 million U.S. travelers taking to the air and roads. While the Macy's Day Parade prepared for one of the most crowded events in history, which there was a lot of people there, and they did an awesome job on security there, you know, you may not have seen it, but there was massive quantities of police, both clothed and plainclothes, that were out there protecting and watching for suspicious things. You know, they're reporting an extreme surge in bookings and reservations for the highly anticipated inaugural event. These events will probably are possible that they will record high turnouts, very high turnouts, and they pose unprecedented challenges for police departments across the country. The issues with, let's just say, the inauguration, for example, is that there are going to be millions of people there and a very limited number of police officers. So as a civilian traveling during the holiday season, you need to make sure you pay attention to what's going on around you. You know, the guy that just drove into the crowd in Germany in a truck, you know, that was his entire plan, was to drive over holiday shoppers. The terrorist in Ohio, his entire job was to drive over people, get out and start stabbing them with a knife. So if you're in a group of people or a crowd of people, these are things you need to look for. You need to constantly be aware of your surroundings, what's around you. Escape routes. Escape routes are tantamount to survival. You know, you need to make sure that you know where you're at, what's around you, and what's going to be happening in your area. The Islamic State pointed to the attacks in Nice, France on July 16th as a prime example of what could happen in New York City during its annual Thanksgiving Day parade. Now, thank the Lord that none of that happened. However, you know, there's Christmas parades all over the place, and the same thing is possible. You know, you get to a rest area, a lone gunman could be sitting there waiting for you. And not just terrorists. There's other psychopaths out there who are looking to do you harm. Pickpockets, thieves, car thieves, people who are going to who would be interested in carjacking you. Someone who has no morals will have no problem putting you in the ground. So as you're going forward and you're spending time on the roads, especially in snowy conditions and icy conditions, they're calling for a white winter for half of the United States this year. Travel is going to be hectic. Think about what would happen if in the middle of a blizzard, terrorists start setting off bombs. What are you going to do? You know, are you going to park on the side of the road and hide in the bushes? You know, you need to know where you're at and where you're going to be going and where to head to escape. So, you know, basically, there's, as far as situation awareness and survival stuff, you know, equipment in your vehicle, there's a connection there. If you have the right gear and you have good situational awareness, you're more likely than not going to do good in a extreme situation like a blizzard or a terrorist attack or even a pickpocket. You know what's going on in the areas you're headed to. With that being said, the uptick in terrorist attacks all over the world bring on a new unprecedented issue that needs to be dealt with in America. People all over the world are dying, especially in areas like Syria and Iraq, Iran. Christians are being slaughtered. 300,000 Christians have died in Syria because they were Christians. So, you know, when you look at that number, you need to understand that that's, the United States is not immune to this kind of a situation. It's not immune to people performing these attacks on individuals while they're here. You know, they're going to do what they can to take out America, you know, and when you are out on the roads in these situations, you need to make sure that you're prepared for whatever may happen. Keep extra food in the vehicle. Keep first aid supplies. Keep, like Eric said, an NOAA weather radio. One of those can be very handy if you're out in the middle of nowhere. You know, as New Year's Eve comes up, it's the same thing. The holiday season doesn't end at Christmas. There's New Year's Eve. There's New Year's Day. Welcome guest 1346. You don't want to stop preparing and stop paying attention to what's going on around you just because you're not at home. When you're in an unfamiliar environment, you need to pay even more attention than if you are in some place that's familiar, because there's a lot of different places that people can hide that you won't know about because you're not familiar with the area. So, you know, the inauguration's coming up. Just because Donald Trump is going to get elected does not mean Donald Trump is a miracle worker. He cannot fix everything. He is not going to fix everything. He's going to do his best to do what he thinks is right for America. That may not be what you think is right for America. And as such, you know, you have to be prepared for everything. Rioters, protesters, Black Lives Matter, which in my opinion is a terrorist organization and should be dealt with as such. You know what we do with terrorist organizations overseas? Welcome guest 1362. We take them out. End of discussion. We don't do that in America. No, in America, we're politically correct. So, you know, these are things that you need to pay attention to. And it's not just them. You've got the new Black Lives Matter. You've got the new Black Panther Party. These are organizations that have made extremely racist comments. And as such, you know, over the holiday seasons, you need to be prepared for people who are not quite mentally stable, who may listen to these slightly racist, slightly off the wall comments that these organizations are making and say, hey, you know what? I can do something. You know, so pay attention to your environment. Pay attention to what's going on around you. And just because, you know, Christmas is over doesn't mean that the threat is over. New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, there's, you know, the threat doesn't end just because of a lack of, you know, because Christmas is over. So you're going to have hundreds of millions of people driving down the roads and flying on airplanes. And not only is, you know, situational awareness important for safety from terrorism and things like that. Look at pandemics. Perfect example. A pandemic can be easily caused during a holiday season because there's so many people that are out not using proper methods of sanitation. somebody with tuberculosis goes and uses the bathroom and touches the doorknob. If you don't use hand sanitizer when you get back in your vehicle or when you leave the bathroom, then you now have tuberculosis on your hand. And you know, tuberculosis is not a good illness. Believe it or not, the Black Plague has had several occurrences of it in the United States in the last 12 months, from New Mexico to California, and I think there was one in the Midwest. You know, these are all diseases and illnesses that if you're aware of your situational awareness and you pay attention to what's going on, you should be able to at least limit the amount of damage that something like this can do to your you and your family. The amount of preparation involved is very minimal. So, you know, it doesn't take a lot to take precautions to make sure that when you are out and about putting down the road, that you don't become a victim, or you don't become the next statistic, or you don't become the next person with you know, Ebola or tuberculosis or the Black Plague or any of these other various illnesses they keep popping up with, Zika virus. So, you know, it's just a matter of paying attention to what's around you and taking preparations. If you see somebody who doesn't look quite right, they don't cough a lot, avoid them. You know, keep the phones out of your face. So many people, you see them walking down the street, walking through the malls, walking into the restrooms at rest areas. They pay zero attention because they got a phone stuffed to their face. You know, and then you got the kids that come running into the bathroom because they've been cooped up in a car for the last 5 hours. They come running in there coughing, hacking, snot flying. Next thing you know, you're walking out of the bathroom with four new illnesses that haven't even been discovered yet. So, you know, not that I have anything against kids. I have four of them myself. They're, you know, that's why I know exactly the snot flies. As soon as they get out of the car, they start running through everything. You know, and parents nowadays don't pay attention to their kids as much as they used to, which is a bad thing. So, you know, kids disappear. People out there who would be perfectly happy to have a new kid. Whether it's a male, female, it doesn't really matter to them. They're going to take those kids and they're going to do what they want with them. And those are bad people. So, you know, you need to pay attention to what's around you. I can't stress that enough. When you go to like a mall or a shopping center to do your Christmas shopping, there's going to be lone wolf terrorists who are out there during this holiday season that they may or may not actually do something. If the opportunity arises and they feel that it's a good opportunity to go, you know, slice and dice on people, you better believe they're going to go slice and dice on people. And they're going to do as much as they possibly can to wreak as much havoc as possible. You know, when you're at a mall, always know where your exits are. Always know what's going on around you and what the quickest way to get to a safe place is. Now, if you know where you're at in the mall and you know what is going on, then chances are you can probably get by in the event of a terrorist attack. So, you know, it's super important to pay attention to your environment, especially when you're shopping at malls and things like that, where there's a lot of people and there's, you know, the possibility of terrorist attacks. You know, I mean, the guy in Ohio that drove into that crowd of students and then got out and started stabbing them. You know, you're going to have people like that at malls, you know, and when you have a gathering for a Christmas tree lighting in your town, whether it's, you know, a town of 500 people or a town of 500,000 people, there's going to be a crowd there. And those are prime targets for terrorists. They use violence and threats to intimidate And that's what they do. That's what terrorism is. That's the definition of terrorism, the use of violence and threats to intimidate or coerce. You know, so as you're going through the holiday season, you know, pay attention to what's going on around you, and pay attention to the people who are around you, your escape routes. Always have at least two escape routes, because if a vehicle comes flying at you at 100 miles an hour or 80 miles an hour and you have one escape route, Murphy's Law says that that vehicle will be coming the same direction that your escape route is. So have multiple, you know, when you're standing there watching a Christmas parade, or you're standing there watching the New Year's Day parade, or you're standing there watching the ball drop in, you know, New Year's Eve, look around and find multiple ways to get out of a situation. You know, if there's gunfire and you're standing in a crowd of people as the ball's dropping, you know, if you haven't even looked to see which way you're going to run, you're going to end up being a statistic. Whether you get run over by everybody else around you, or you get shot by the psychopath who's running down the street with a rifle yelling, "I love the snack bar," or "Allahu Akbar," one of the two. You know, it's just a fact, you know. Don't become a statistic. Pay attention to the environment around you. And don't, you know, don't, just because the holidays are coming close to an end, don't let up your guard. Don't stop what you're doing. Just because you're sitting in your family's house in the middle of the Midwest in a town of 500 people does not mean that a crazy psychopath may decide that he's not going to hit that area. You know, you don't know where they're going to hit. And if you think about it, the most likeliest places for them to hit are the least likeliest places for them to actually hit. You know, Washington, D.C. They're probably less likely to hit Washington, D.C. than they would be for a lone wolf gunman or a lone wolf terrorist. It's probably more likely that they're going to hit small town areas where they're familiar. They're not likely to drive to Washington, D.C. to do an attack when they can accomplish the same thing better in the small town that they're in. You know, what's going to cause more fear? Blowing up 300 people at a Christmas Day parade, or blowing up 100 towns with populations of 5,000 people all across the country? You know, it's going to cause more chaos and more pandemonium and more terror by attacking things that you don't expect them to attack. So, you know, if just because you're in a small town, just because you're in a smaller town environment, doesn't mean that you're exempt from terrorist attack. You know, it just means that you need to pay that much more attention. So the follow-up to all this is that, you know, if you pay attention to your area, you keep your basic supplies in your vehicle while you're traveling, if you prep around your house, if terrorists take down the grid on New Year's Eve and you haven't prepped at all, you're going to be in a world of hurt. This is where prepping comes in. You know, you need to prep and make sure that you need to prepare and make sure that if something bad happens, that you can save your family and you can save, you know, the people that are important in your life. You need to be able to work them, you know, work around your area and be able to get to, say, your bug out location. Or if you don't have a bug out location, bug in location, you know, you may not be there. You may be at the mall shopping for Christmas and the grid goes down because of a terrorist attack. What are you going to do? Are you going to stay at the mall? No, you need to get out of there. You need to get to where you're safe. You need to know your area, know that you're in, know what your obstacles may be, you know, do some basic preps. Every time you go to the store, if you buy two or three extra cans. That's prepping. You are going to have, you know, a leg up over the people around you simply because you bought a little bit of extra food or bought a few flashlights. Keep your flashlights with good batteries. It does you absolutely no good to have a flashlight with dead batteries. They have hand crank flashlights. Those are always good too. You know, if you're in a blizzard in a snowstorm and your vehicle gets stuck, if you have a cell phone that works, you can call for help. They may not be able to get to you. Chances are they're going to be busy with, you know, things that are going to prevent them from getting to you in a timely manner. So you need to take preparations and make sure that you have, you know, the basic preps with you in your vehicle so that you don't have to rely so much on the local law enforcement and first responders and fire departments. You know, if you put yourself in a situation where you are another victim, you're just adding to their burden of things that they have to deal with. If they shut down the roads because of a blizzard, trust me, you do not need to go out to the grocery store to grab a gallon of milk and a loaf of bread at that point in your life. You need to just hunker down and wait for the storm to go by and wait for the road crews to get out there and do their job, and don't go out there and get stuck in the middle of the road, because then the road crews can't very easily get around you. And now you're impeding the cleanup effort and becoming another statistic. So, you know, as far as all that goes, you need to make preparations and make sure that you're ready and aware of it. If you do happen to be out and you get stuck in a snowstorm and you have some some prepping gear with you, a red flag, tie it on your antenna, put it at the highest point possible for visibility. If you have flares, keep a flare lit behind your vehicle as much as possible. Put your cones out, your triangles, whatever you happen to have on your vehicle. If you're going to be in a cold environment, get a sleeping bag that's rated for the cold temperature you're going into. It does you zero good to have a sleeping bag rated to 10 degrees if you're going to Wisconsin where it's minus 40 degrees. It's not going to help you any. So make sure that you're getting prepping gear or safety gear. I'm sorry. Make sure that you're getting safety gear and prepping for the right environment. And again, if you live in Florida or you live in Arizona and you're not used to cold temperatures, make sure you do a lot of research before you go, you know, driving up to Wisconsin in January and, you know, 6 feet of snow with minus 40 degree temperatures, because there's a lot of difference between Wisconsin and Arizona or Wisconsin and Florida or Wisconsin and Georgia for that matter. So, do you have anything over there, Eric? You're awful quiet. Okay, you can speak up at any time there. Okay, or not. Or you can just sit there. Okay, so if you feel like you got something to say, just pipe in at any time. As you're going through, I tried to get him to be interactive. Apparently, he's not feeling interactive today. His interactive button broke. Anyway, so, you know, he had said something during his little section there on safety gear and such that, you know where you're going. One of my trips up to our property in the mountain, we ended up driving up there, and they had changed the forecast between when I had looked at the forecast the day before and when I actually left and drove up there. I didn't pay attention. I was guilty of not being aware of my situation. There was zero situational awareness in that situation, because what happened is I ended up driving into a snowstorm that over the course of about 30 minutes dropped 4 inches of snow on the ground. And by the time I actually got to my property, there was about 10 and a half, maybe 11 inches of snow on the ground. Now, mind you, I drove up an altitude about 6,000 feet, two-wheel drive pickup truck, sideways most of the time, going up and down, up hills, and then sliding down the hills, trying not to, you know, so it was some white-knuckle driving. But had I paid attention, I would have known that, and I would have left a little sooner, or I would have even gone and got chains. I did not have chains. I just had street tires. I have since upgraded the tires at least a little bit to help with driving in that kind of weather. But even tires like that won't help exceptionally when you have a two-wheel drive pickup truck. So thank the Lord that my dog, Bella, decided not to let me take a nap when I had pulled off the side of the road to take a nap. And every time I tried to lay down, she'd jump up in my face and start licking me. And I'm pretty sure she knew that there was something coming. So she probably pretty much helped us get to our property. There's a lot of things you can do for heat in the wintertime if you're stranded on the side of the road. Hand warmers, long underwear, keep extras in your vehicle. It does you no good if you are wearing the only clothing you have and it gets wet, because you're going to get cold. And cold leads to hypothermia. Hypothermia leads to death. And then you become a statistic. So, you know, keep a spare pair of clothing in your vehicle. Keep the little hand warmers they sell at Walmart for $5. Keep a couple of those in your vehicle. I think it's like a 3-pack for $5 or a 4-pack for $5. You know, keep those in your vehicle. They take up very little room. They're not very expensive. And they can mean the difference between life and death. If you are going to be going someplace more than a few miles from your house, keep food in your vehicle. It doesn't take much room to throw a little bit of that, you know, couple of the emergency survival food, couple of packets of that in the trunk. They're not the greatest for you, but in an emergency, they will get you through. And you can buy two days or 5 days or 7 day packs at Walmart. I mean, you know, they're easily accessible. They don't take up much room. Throw them into a book bag in your trunk. If you are prepper, you should actually have a get home bag with you at all times, no matter where you're at. If you're going to work, if you're going, you know, out to a parade, if you're going to celebrate New Year's Eve on top of a mountain in the middle of nowhere, you should have a get-home bag with you so that if something does happen, you can still make it home. The purpose of a get-home bag is just that, to get you home. So make sure that in your get-home bag, which we'll cover on another show, make sure that you keep the right supplies in there. There are hundreds of lists that you can go out. Just go out and Google get home bag supplies, and you will find 800 lists of you know, get home supplies that people think you should have, and 99% of those are decent lists. Then you have the one whacked out one that says, grenade launcher. Not saying that's a bad thing to have, it just may not be legal where you live. So, you know, just keep it simple, keep your gear acceptable, keep your gear in shape. Does you no good if you have a get home bag that has, you know, hand warmers that are 6 years old and have been stepped on, beat up, thrown into the corner, and don't work anymore because they've already gone off inside the package. Does you no good if your get home bag is for Florida and you're in Wisconsin? On the flip side, it also does you no good if your get home bag is for Wisconsin and you're in Florida. So, you know, make sure that you're bringing supplies that are suitable for the environment that you're going to be in. Make sure that if you have an everyday carry, make sure you bring it with you. Make sure you keep it with you. Make sure you know how to use it. There is nothing worse than some maniac standing behind everybody else trying to shoot the guy in front of them. That is the guy that will get you killed. Know your firearms. Do a little bit of training. Go to the freaking range. That's what they have free ranges for. They're all over the place. If you can't find one, Google free range and your city. And chances are there's one somewhere. If you still can't find one, contact your local police department. They will know if there's a free range in the area. So, you know, if you have an everyday carry, make sure that you bring ammunition for it. It does you no good if you bring, you know, an M1911-45 with one clip of magazine of ammunition, and you use them all. Well, what are you going to do then? Throw the gun at them? So, you know, throw an extra box of ammunition in your get home bag. Make sure you have, you know, the ability to use your firearm more than one time. A single shot shotgun with one shell in it is probably not a good everyday carry gun. So, you know, it may be a good everyday carry gun, but not if you only bring one round with you. So, you know, if you have an everyday carry and you, you know, or you have a concealed carry permit, you know, bring your weapon with you. Make sure you pay attention. If you aren't aware of what's going on around you, or you don't have decent situational awareness, even if you have a firearm, an everyday carry, even if you have a pocket knife, it's not going to do you any good because you're oblivious to the world because you've got your iPhone or your you know, Samsung or your LG or whatever stuffed so far up your face that you can't see anything. So, you know, as you are going through, make sure you're bringing the right gear. Make sure you pay attention. Make sure that the things that you are bringing with you work. So, you know, basically this was going to be a short show because of the holiday. I just wanted to go over some basic prep for the holidays, things you can try, you know, to help you make it to where you're going, to help you make it through the holidays. And I can't stress it enough. Pay attention to your surroundings. Pay attention to what's around you. If something doesn't feel right, it probably isn't. There's probably something there that you're just not noticing. Always trust your gut. You will see things subconsciously that you do not see, that you do not actually see consciously. And that is your sixth sense, your gut feeling is your body telling you, hey, something is not right here. Something is not right. Something is out of the ordinary. Pay attention. It takes half a second to stop and look and figure out if you know, there's actually something going on there. And it can save your life. So with that, I don't have anything else. Did you have anything else, Eric?
Yes. One last thing. Don't warm up your car unattended. Because even though it may be tempting, leaving your car running when you're not around offers the perfect opportunity for thieves to steal it. Instead, have a family member wait inside it while you finish getting ready and switch shifts with them when you have finished.
That's a very good point. Very good point. So, I want to thank everyone for listening to New Mexico West Prepping on the Contra Radio Network. We look forward to talking to you next week, where we're going to discuss what are we discussing next week, Eric? That's right. We're discussing hydropower, wind power, and we're going to go more in depth on inverters, charge controllers, solar setups, and things like that. And then we're going to follow that one up with a three-part series on gardening, where we will discuss everything from prepping your dirt to eating your food, which I enjoy. So with that being said, I wish everyone a Merry Christmas, and I hope that everyone has safe travels and gets to where they're supposed to be when they're supposed to be there. I hope you all have a happy new year and a safe new year, and God bless.
Easter is coming up, and I just can't wait to have the whole family in one place. And of course, what's Easter without an awesome Easter brunch? Now, I don't know about your family, but mine is a little picky, and I really wanted to impress them with something delicious. A friend told me I should check out Total Wine & More. It was crazy! They must have every wine and beer imaginable. I told one of their friendly experts my situation, and they found me just the thing. This sparkling wine is going to be absolutely perfect for brunch, even with my picky family. I know next time I need something, I'm shopping at Total Wine and More. Easter is coming up, and I just can't wait to have the whole family in one place. And of course, what's Easter without an awesome Easter brunch? Now, I don't know about your family, but mine is a little picky, and I really wanted to impress them with something delicious. A friend told me I should check out Total Wine & More. It was crazy! They must have every wine and beer imaginable. I told one of their friendly experts my situation, and they found me just the thing. This sparkling wine is going to be absolutely perfect for brunch, even with my picky family. I know next time I need something, I'm shopping at Total Wine & More.